came on the treacherous middle ground that combines both the fantastic and the real. But John Collier is the exception. He has managed to do just that. And with such skill that the reader often confuses which is reality and which fantasy. Today's story, while it does not deal in fantasy or the supernatural, nevertheless has a quality suggestive of both. But beyond that, it is pure entertainment. We'll begin our short story in just a moment. Now, De Mortius by John Collier.
It was a quiet, friendly town in upstate New York. The kind of town where most folks call each other by their first name. And if they're friends, they call each other by nickname. Dr. Rankin was a large and raw-boned man on whom the newest suit appeared at once outdated, like a suit in a photograph of 20 years ago. He had those large and clumsy hands which can be an asset to a doctor in a small upstate town. Everybody, even the youngsters, called Dr. Rankin Doc. They didn't mean any disrespect because everybody liked Doc Rankin. One of his best friends was Bud Wary, the real estate man.
Who could ever imagine a thing like that about the Doc? Why, I've known him ever since he came to town, 5, 6 years ago. A real nice fellow. Big, quiet, easygoing. You might say he's close-mouthed. Minds his own business. But if anybody told me the Doc could do that, I'd say he was crazy. Anyway, nobody will ever know. Just me and Buck. And I wish we didn't know. But Buck won't tell.
I just wish I could forget all about it. Forget the whole thing. Forget it ever happened. But you can't forget a thing like that. I just wish that Bud and I had never gone to his house that morning. All Bud and I wanted to do was to go fishing. Then we decided we ought to pick up the Doc and take him along. The day it happened, Doc Rankin was all alone in the house. On this particularly fine morning, he was down in the basement cementing a stretch of the cellar floor. Matter of fact, he was just putting the finishing touches on a very skillful job using those big, raw-boned hands of his. With all the unflurried certainty of one who would never leave a sponge within or leave an unsightly scar without, he swept up a few crumbs of dirt, put them in the furnace, began to put his pick and shovel away. Just then, he jumped as if shot when he heard the kitchen door slam upstairs. He listened, heard the thud of heavy feet coming closer to the steps leading to the cellar.
Hi, Doc. Anybody home? Hey, Doc. The fish are biting.
I guess maybe you had to go out.
Yeah, it looks that way. Anyhow, we can leave a note for him. Tell him we're going fishing in the creek. He can find us there.
We could tell Irene.
Oh, but she's not here.
Now, I wonder where Irene is. You think she'd be around somewhere?
Well, she sure ought to be around from the looks of the kitchen.
You said it, Bud. Just look at that table. You could write your name on it.
It sure is a mess.
You know, it must get on the Doc's nerves sometimes. Neither do you.
Well, you know how Irene is. Never was exactly the little homemaker.
Well, let's see if we can find something to write a note to Doc on.
Hey, wait a minute, Buck. The cellar door is open, and there's a light down there.
Hey, anybody down there?
There sure is. What's the matter, Doc? You deaf or something? Didn't you hear us?
Hello, boys. Come on down. Didn't you hear us yelling upstairs? We've made enough racket to wake the dead.
Well, I was a little surprised, I guess.
I guess maybe you heard what I said upstairs
about the kitchen.
Well, I'm afraid it isn't very neat.
Well, all the same, it's all my business. I ought to keep my mouth shut.
Irene's gone out on visiting. So what are you doing down here in the cellar on a swell day like this? Burying one of your patients? there's been a little water seeping up through the floor.
Water in the basement of this house?
I sure don't know where it had come from, Doc.
Why, I figured it might be a spring that opened up or something.
Hey, wait a minute. I sold you this place, remember? Don't tell me I'd sell a place to a friend that had a spring under the foundation.
Oh, never mind the sales talk, Bud.
You know, when the doc came here, he was a city slicker, remember?
Fair game for anybody.
No, wait, I'm serious, Buck. When the doc came here, he didn't know his way around. And I could have sold him a lot of places at a bigger profit. But no, sir. When he and Irene got married, I recommended this place, and I'd do it again. You can look it up on the map in my own.
Oh, let's forget it, bud. It was probably just a heavy rain.
Well, anyway, I guess you got it fixed up, Doc. From the looks of that pick and shovel, you sure dug down deep enough. Right down into the clay, huh?
Let me see that thick one. Yeah, that's clay, all right. No less than 4 feet down.
Oh, no, just 18 inches.
More like 4 feet, I can show you on the map.
Map or no map, bud, it couldn't be more than about 18 inches.
Oh, let it go, you two. 4 feet or 18 inches, who cares? It's a swell day, and I want to get down to that creek for an hour or two while it's still biting.
That's for me, too. Come on along, Doc. You can spare a couple of hours.
No, not this morning, boys. I want to get this job finished.
Oh, right. Come on. A little sunshine will do you good.
Oh, then I got to see a couple of patients.
Look, Doc, live and let live.
I'm sorry, fellas. I sure would like to go, but I just can't make it today.
Well, if you're sure, I guess we better go ahead. We don't see you so much anymore, Doc. How's Irene?
Irene? Oh, never better. She's just gone visiting in Albany. Took the 11 o'clock train.
11 o'clock train for Albany?
Did I say Albany? I meant Watertown. She went to Watertown.
Oh, I didn't know you had friends in Watertown.
Well, Irene does. Mrs. Slater. She lived next door to Irene's folks here in town when she was a kid. Over on Sycamore Street.
People named Slater next door to Irene on Sycamore Street? Not in this town.
There was a moment of awkward silence in the dim cellar. The big doctor's heavy face looked puzzled for a moment. The eyes of the two friends met for a fleeting second. Then Bud went on.
I don't like to contradict you, Doc, but no one named Slater ever lived next to Irene.
You must be wrong, Bud. Irene was telling me all about him last night.
Look, Buck, you lived here all your life.
He got a letter from this Mrs. Slater. It seems she looked after Irene once when her mother was in the hospital.
I don't get it, Doc. Like Buck says, I've lived here all my life. Irene's folks and mine were neighbors.
I don't remember any Mrs. Slater.
Well, that's what she told me.
Of course, that was a good many years ago. Might be some mix-up.
Why, when we were kids, we were in and out of Irene's house all the time. We knew everybody around. There was never anybody named Slater next door.
Well, maybe she married again, this woman. Then her name would have been different when she lived here.
I don't think so, Doc. I just don't remember anybody like that at all.
What time did she go to the station?
Oh, she was not long ago, about a quarter of an hour. It wasn't any longer than that. About a quarter of an hour.
Did you drive her downtown to the station?
No, I was busy working here in the cellar, so she walked down.
Funny we didn't see her then. Bud and I came out Main Street. That's the way she'd go.
Maybe she walked across the pasture. If she took the shortcut to the station across the field, you'd have missed her.
That's a pretty rough walk across there, especially for a woman with a suitcase.
She didn't have a suitcase with her. Just a few things in a bag. So she probably walked across the field.
Gosh almighty, Doc.
Look, Doc, it just doesn't add up. I don't like to think anything, but
there sure are a lot of funny angles here.
Angles? What do you mean, angles?
Well, why would a feller dig down 4 feet to do a measly little cement job?
The doctor's friends looked at each other. Her eyes went from the pick and shovel with the fresh clay on them, then to the new damp cement on the floor.
There's something funny about all this. Oh, maybe I'm going crazy. Did Irene make up that story to tell the doc? Or did Doc make up the story to tell us? I guess a man would get fed up after a while. But a fellow like that Doc, he never said anything. He never let on that he knew anything about Irene.
him, but then I guess that would be his way. He'd keep his troubles to himself no matter what. But to do something like that in cold blood, good Lord. And then to sit there so calm as if nothing had happened. It's not human. But then who knows what the poor devil's been through.
Feet to do a measly little cement job?
Good Lord, Doc, how could you do it? A guy like you.
What in the name of heaven are you two fools thinking? What are you trying to say?
Well, all that talk about a spring, I ought to have known right away it wasn't any spring.
Well, let's take it easy here. I don't know what to say.
Do you mean you actually think that I do something like that? Am I crazy or are you? You suggest that I mean, Irene, my own wife. All right, get out. Get out, I tell you. Go get the sheriff and bring him here.
Hold it, Doc. Don't get...
Bring him here, I tell you. Bring him here and tell him to start digging. And see what you find.
Wait, Doc. We're your friends. Darn good friends, too.
Yeah, don't worry about us. We've been friends for a long time. Right from the start. We're still your friends.
I'll say one thing. It's not as if you didn't have provocation. Whatever you did, I'm sure you had plenty of reason.
There was plenty of reason, all right. The whole town knows that. Most people here would understand, Doc, but... Well, it's a little different when you try to tell it to a jury at the county seat.
I don't know what you're raving about. Just exactly what are you saying? What do you mean?
Nobody blames you, Doc. But this is really being put on the spot. Brother, what a spot. We've got some fast thinking to do.
You've got to realize what we're up against, Doc. This is plenty serious. Provocation or not.
And we can't make any wrong moves, Doc. Whether we like it or not, we're mixed up in this thing, too. There's such a thing as being an accomplice to a crime.
Just tell me this. Just tell me one thing. What's all this talk about provocation?
Oh, we know you were justified, Doc.
What do you mean, justified?
Well, you were bound to get wised up sooner or later.
I guess we should have told you a long time ago. We should have told you 5 years ago, before you even got married to her.
Sure we should have. But it's too late now. Funny thing, when you came to town without knowing your way around, we all took a liking to you. Most strangers like that we'd take advantage of, but not you. You were too nice a guy.
Like I could have sold you the old Jessup's house, made a sucker out of you. But I came right out and told you the truth. I wouldn't let you make a mistake like that.
When it came to Ted Weber's jalopy, I acquit your wife for that. But when it came to something important like marriage, we let you go right ahead and make a chump of yourself.
Somebody should have given you a hint. That part was our fault.
Now, let me get this straight. You mean that you thought I wouldn't be happy with Irene?
Let's say it this way, Doc. We knew she wasn't going to be satisfied. She just wasn't cut out for a guy like you.
Well, maybe I was to blame. I'm 50 years old. I guess that's pretty old for Irene.
It wouldn't have made any difference if you was Johnny White's mother at the age of 21.
I know a lot of people think she's not exactly a perfect wife. Well, maybe she's not. After all, she's young. She's full of life.
Oh, skip it, Doc. Just skip it, will you?
Well, let me tell you something. Not everybody wants the same thing. I'm not a very lively fellow myself. I don't open up with people very easily. But Irene's different, always gay and friendly.
That's what we mean. She was always very friendly.
She's not a housekeeper. I knew that all the time. But that's not the only thing a man wants. She's bright and lively. And I think she's enjoyed herself.
You can say that all right. She sure did.
Well, can't you see? That's what I love. Because I'm not that way myself. She's not very deep mentally. All right. Say she's stupid. I don't care. I wasn't looking for someone else on the quiet, studious side. Don't you realize that?
Sure, Doc. But after all,
let me go on now that I've started. She's lazy. Well, I'm not. She's not systematic. Heaven knows I've got plenty of system.
All I know is that she likes a good time. She enjoys herself. She gets fun out of life. I think it's beautiful. Innocent, like a child.
Yeah, sure, Doc. That part of it's fine. If that was all,
if that was all, you seem to know there was more.
Everybody knows it. That's what makes it worse now, when you find it out. We could have all told you. Any one of us could have told you.
I feel plenty rotten about it now, Doc. You came to town a nice, honest, friendly guy. You made friends with most everybody. Then what did we do? We just stood by and let you marry the town floozy. Nobody told you. Instead, everybody just laughed.
That goes for you and me too, bud.
Sure, it goes for all of us.
A fine bunch of friends we turned out to be.
It's a shame, Doc. A dirty, rotten shame. At first, I guess we figured you were just out for a good time, too. Then, well, I guess it was too late.
Well, some of us did try to give you a break, Doc. Buck here can back me up on that. We went right to Irene and told her to watch her step.
That's right, Doc. Why, I remember. I remember once.
Now, listen, Irene. You've got no right to go chasing around this way. You understand?
Why, Buck, I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't try to act innocent with me, Irene. You're married now. Married to a swell guy.
So what?
Be sensible, Irene. Well, you've been out with every Tom, Dick, and Harry in town.
After all, Buck, it's not a very big town. Oh, that reminds me. I have to run over to Watertown to do some shopping. See you around, Buck.
All right, you little tooth-tiny...
Bud Wary. Why, you're just getting to be an old busybody.
I'm just trying to tell you for your own good, Irene. Why don't you settle down and try to act decent for a change?
I don't see it's any of your business. I'm not hurting you any.
No, but I'm not going to stand by and watch a friend of mine made a fool of.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
You cheap little chiseler. Sometime you're going to go too far.
Yeah, we warned her, Doc. We told her to watch her step. Everybody hoped she'd change. But it didn't do any good, though.
Yeah, and I guess everybody got fed up after a while when it came to her going out with every truck driver and his brother.
It was never us, Doc. Not after you came along, anyway.
The town will be on your side.
That won't mean much when the case moves up to trial on the county seat.
That's enough, Buck. I don't want to hear any more.
Okay, Doc. Now that you know for yourself, there's no use raking over the past. Our problem is what to do now.
What can I do? Oh, I wish I knew what to do. But it's too late now. Everything's over and done now.
Well, there's one thing I can tell you, Doc. I'm not going to turn you in. Now or never, I swear.
It's up to you, Buck. Don't be a fool, Buck. It's an ugly business to be mixed up in. But I'll take my chances. I'll never say a word.
Now look. When we came in the house, the street was empty, wasn't it?
I guess so. I don't remember seeing anybody.
Anyway, no one saw us come down in the cellar, I'm sure of that.
Right. And as far as I'm concerned, we never came down in the cellar. You understand that, Doc?
I wish you hadn't come down. I'd give anything in the world if you hadn't come down.
Well, just in case somebody did see us, we'll admit we came to the house like we actually did to pick up Doc to go fishing. We came in the house, yelled upstairs, hung around for a minute or two, and then cleared out. No one came down in the cellar.
Doc, all you have to do is say that Irene went out for a walk and never came back. Everybody knows she was always gadding about.
Then Bud and I can swear we saw her heading out of town with a fella in a Buick sedan. Everybody will believe that, too. Sounds just like Irene.
Yeah, this will work out all right. After all, Doc, we can fix the whole thing. All you have to do is keep your nerve and stick to the story.
With the reputation Irene had, it's a cinch. But we don't want to hang around here too long.
No, we'd better scram. But let's get it straight once more. We came by to go fishing. We didn't find anybody home. So we went ahead without the dock. And we never came down here in the cellar.
Then we saw Irene leaving town in this car with a fellow we didn't know. You all set, Doc? Do you have everything straight?
Sure. I have everything perfectly straight now. Everything's all set.
Let's go, bud. And, Doc, you better... Well, you better get everything covered up down here. Left alone, the doctor sat down on an empty box, holding his head with both hands. He was still sitting like that when he heard the slamming of the kitchen door upstairs again. This time, he wasn't startled. He listened as the door closed. Then there was the click of high-heeled shoes coming closer to the stairs of the cellar.
Down here, Irene, in the cellar.
So you're still working down there?
Yes, turned out to be more of a job than I thought. Why are you back so soon?
Oh, can you beat it? I miss the old train.
Oh, that's too bad. Or did you come back across the field?
Yes, like a fool. I should have hitched a ride and caught the train up the line.
Oh?
But I thought you could drive me over to the junction if you're through with the job, and I can still make the train. It wouldn't take you long.
Did you meet anyone on the way back?
No, not a soul. What took you so long to finish down here?
Oh, I'm afraid I made a stupid mistake. I'll have to take the whole thing up again. Come on down, Irene, and I'll show you.
But I don't want to be late for my appointment with Mrs. Slater.
Well, that's all right. This will only take a minute. Come on down, dear.